Cool. So, Ash, what have you been up to?
I can't even ask him. You're going to cut me off and ask for me.
Man.
Jeez.
It's not all too exciting. I guess I should tell.
Wait.
Matt, are you done?
No, I'm not done.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Go back to your game.
Is he quitting again?
So, wait. Hold on. Let me finish. Ash, what are you up to?
Oh, okay. Well...
All right, welcome to the Rated NA podcast number 101 for the website nerdappropriate.com, where we talk about all things, whatever things are.
I like all the things. I like just going to an all things format.
We should do a math episode.
We should.
No.
Talk about more things. That's what I think.
I genuinely perked up when you said that.
Oh, yeah.
Math episode?
That's true.
Yeah, you were like, let's talk about math. And I was like, really?
How about Siberian Huskies?
We can do that, too.
We can do that.
That's a great one.
Let's do the rundown.
But this episode's extra special. Why is it extra special, guys? Whoa.
What was that?
What?
It was the goddess.
This is the worst. It's extra special because we have a special guest on.
Yes.
It is. And who's our special guest?
Allie Hillis.
Yeah, so we coerced Allie Hillis into coming back on the show. And she hasn't been on the show in quite some time. Geez, what did we say it was? Like early 2011?
It's almost been 2 years.
It's almost been 2 years, almost. Which is crazy. So we kept in touch with Allie, and we asked her to come back on. And she's an absolute blast, and you guys will really love the conversation, I think. I'm building it up a lot. It's gonna change your entire life.
It's a good conversation, and I think because just having listened to it again, it's kind of a different conversation because we've talked with her before, and I feel like there's a certain level of comfort there. So sort of the topics that we explore are maybe not what you would hear in your traditional interview. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past couple of years, she's become a pretty good buddy of ours. So. It is a cool one. It's different, because it is more of kind of like a friendly chat, if you will.
Yeah.
So we appreciate
that. I love that she's super passionate about certain causes that she'll talk about. Yeah. And I think I love the work that she's doing. I mean, outside of her professional work, which I know we're all big fans of hers, but she does some really good things outside of that. So it's pretty interesting stuff.
It is cool. So. Cool. We're going to chat for a little bit, and then we'll dive right back into that interview, rather.
Yeah. So, what do you got? Hillary, what have you been up to this week?
So, I'm going to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
Hey. So, besides the fact that I did work a lot, I'm not going to, like say it a lot.
But you just said it.
I know, but I'm just putting it out there. So, I'm actually in the process of buying a house, which is really, really scary and awesome at the same time.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So it's been really, really rough.
Wow.
That's all I can say. But the house is fantastic, minus the electrical and plumbing problems. It's going to be fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing this week. How about Scott?
We already said we're going to do a nerd appropriate week at your house, right?
Drinking totally.
Mai Tais on the beach and stuff.
Yeah, real.
I was there today, and I actually wanted to see how far. There's a coastal trail that's like right by my house. And I walked out into the court, like a cul-de-sac area. And then at the end of the cul-de-sac, like three or four houses down, you go right on this trail. And then you see all this open land with like really pretty trees and like beach grass and all kinds of stuff. And the ocean is right there. It's amazing.
Awesome.
And to clarify, she's buying an ocean view home with all of her nerd appropriate money.
Yeah,
so
all that money we talked about paying her for the past 44 episodes.
It was an escrow.
Yeah,
I'm worth it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you really generated a lot of revenue for us, so I think it was worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. That bonus really helped things out.
Well,
we do what we can.
Yeah.
Thanks,
guys.
Lies.
Shh. Spoil the illusion.
How about you, Scott? I can't even talk. What have you been up to? There you go.
Well, I'm going to take your moniker then and just say that I've been really busy and doing work things. But I have had time. I have made some time to do a little gaming, but like on handheld devices. So I did finish Girls Like Robots, which is awesome.
You can finish that game?
Yeah, I mean, there's just like it's puzzles, so you finish all the levels and you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. And it's cool being like one of the only 10 people that owns a Surface, because Microsoft is like having a bunch of specials every week on their games for Windows 8, which, you know, obviously means more achievements, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been picking up like a couple of games here and there, and actually, just to preview something in our Allie Hillis interview, she's the main voice actress in a game called Adara that is in the Windows 8 marketplace, and you'll hear her talk about that during the interview. So I would encourage everyone to check that out. It's like a puzzle adventure game.
That's cool. It looks
episodic.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So I downloaded that as well. So I think I'm gonna start playing that next. And I've been playing Paper Mario Sticker Star, which I like. And I picked up Luigi's Mansion Dark Room, because I think I always liked Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube, and I feel like it didn't really get the attention that it deserved. But I heard this one got really good.
Yeah, because it's fucking Luigi, man. Like, yeah. I played Toad's Wild Adventure.
I know. But this one is cool. I mean, I think the nature of the game translates well to a 3D screen, which is like Luigi's like ghost hunting in a mansion with like a vacuum cleaner, which is pretty cool. So I think that's pretty much it. So I'm just trying to keep my head above water. So Matt, what have you been up to since I always pass you up?
You know, other than rejoining the podcast after I quit on episode 100.
Yeah, that was dramatic.
That Foley was incredible too. You should
actually, you couldn't hear my Foley. I was really bummed, but then Hillary backed it up and did excellent Foley for me. So
yeah,
it worked out. You know, high production value over here.
Yeah, yeah. High production. God, I too. We all are doing things. No, I just moved into a house and finally got my internet back. This is my first official podcast on real internet in like 2 months, I think.
Congratulations.
Possibly.
Wow.
No one understands what living on a 4G connection for a month and a half is like. It's god awful. And I'm a web developer, so like it makes no sense how I'm working. It was just a bad situation. So, but yeah, I got my cable, got my internet, got my Xbox and my PlayStation. Hunting for my PlayStation in the pod that got sent down here was like, I was like, Melissa, did you get it out yet? She was like, no, I don't even know where it is. What's it in? I'm like, it's in the PS3 box. And I like ran in the pod to like find it. And I was like, please be okay.
It was in the shrine of the silver monkey.
Is that another Hidden Temple reference?
Yeah.
But it was good.
Where is your brain?
It's always somewhere else. So Matt, I do have a question for you, since you probably haven't had a lot of time to play games. Now that you're hooked up again, what is the first thing you're going to play on your console?
Good question.
The wonderful Raider. Gifted Tomb Raider from Hillary.
Yay!
Fantastic.
You will love it.
That is definite. I have been playing. I'm like Scott. I've been playing mobile stuff. Still playing Nimble Quest because I love it, and a ton of Puzzle Craft, which is like an older game on iOS, but you know, relatively new, of course, on Windows Phone. And I've been playing that a ton, and then I just backed a new game on Kickstarter. I don't know if you guys have heard of this game yet. I forget who Ryan, our friend Ryan Clark, showed it to me, and I forget what blog he saw it on, but it's called Among the Sleep. Have you seen this?
No.
Let me share a link with you guys while we're talking. But it is a horror, like a survival horror game.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but
neat.
you play a 2-year-old child.
Ooh.
Who is just like wandering around. It's first person, and you're like wandering around the house and outside this house, and you're trying to avoid
the
monsters.
Can you shit yourself?
All I know is you can't fight. So like everything is like a 2-year-old. Like if the monsters start showing up, you have to like go hide.
Yeah.
And like try to avoid them at all costs. And it looks super creepy and kind of awesome. So I picked it up on Kickstarter. Maybe we'll post the link maybe or something. It's called Among the Sleep. If you just search for it, you'll probably find it. I think they're only about a quarter of the way into their goal, but they've got tons of time to go.
I love new stuff.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of new stuff, did you guys see the Bethesda announcement?
No.
I did.
The Evil Within.
Yes.
I didn't see this. I saw you guys tweeting about it, but I didn't see what it is.
Yeah, it's the same guy who made the Resident Evil series.
Yes, the creator of Resident Evil has a new survival horror. It's getting published by Bethesda pretty soon.
Interesting.
Mm. Woo! Yeah.
It looks freaky deaky.
I can't wait. That's
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Ash, what have you been up to?
I can't even ask him. You cut me off. And
man.
Jeez. Jeez.
It's not all too exciting. I guess I should tell.
Wait.
Matt, are you done?
No, I'm not done.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Go back to your game.
Is he quitting again?
So, wait. Hold on. Let me finish. Ash, what are you up to?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I should start off by saying we had this interview with Ali Hillis last Sunday, and there is a little bit of a scary slash funny portion of this story that I figure, why the hell not tell it? But ever since I was about 12, I've had an issue every once in a while swallowing food. And it sounds ridiculous, but it's totally true. So when I was 12, I had a piece of food stuck in my esophagus for about 3 or 4 days, and eventually they had to stick a camera tube down my throat to get the food out. And it was traumatizing because I was awake and I was looking at this monitor and I could see the inside of my own throat. And
there was an endoscope.
Yeah, whatever that thing is. I called the devil spine because it was. So anyway, they shoved this fucking thing down my throat. And every once in a while, about once a year, my esophagus will just decide to not actually swallow the food that I eat. It's not even that I take too big of a bite or anything weird like that. It's just all of a sudden my body decides that swallowing isn't that good. So Ali contacted us at like 7, and I put out like an APB like, okay, we got to do this interview tonight. And everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And so we got a time all situated, and it's like 9 o'clock, and I sit down finally to eat dinner, and like my wife and I had like made this big dinner, like chicken and beans and all this, you know, we actually sat there and cooked for once. Literally the first bite of chicken that goes into my throat and I cannot swallow it. And it just stops and I can't swallow water. I can't swallow saliva. And I'm like looking at the clock ticking down and I'm like, at 10 o'clock, I have to do this fucking interview. And so at like 9:40, I'm like frantic. I'm like, am I going to do this interview while choking? Because I'm like, I'm not going to try and reschedule it. I just refuse. So I literally went in the bathroom and just like forced myself.
Ooh.
I probably like, I'm going to get really, we're going to lose followers here. This is it. I forced myself to puke probably about 10 times. Gross. Until everything finally came up.
I don't want to lose followers.
And it was at 9:57. And at 10 o'clock, I ran in and did the interview and I could actually swallow.
Oh. Your voice sounded a bit rough.
I was in pain, a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that,
you handled it well.
I beat BioShock Infinite.
Yay!
And that was a fucking blast. I do have some qualms with it, but next week when we have like a proper episode, I'll go into details about Infinite. But it was great. I've been watching a lot of Tabletop, Will Wheaton's Tabletop from Geek and Sundry.
Last episode was good. Did you watch the last one?
Yeah, I did, with Scagliotti.
Yeah,
that was really, really good. So I've been watching Tabletop, and my wife really likes that show too. So we've been watching that together, and that's been great. So that's pretty much what I've been up to: puking and BioShock and Tabletop.
Hmm. Okay, so I'm super excited to hear about your qualms with BioShock.
Yeah,
but I guess we'll wait.
We'll wait.
But you know what's really exciting?
What's that?
News.
What we're doing next.
Wow. Way to be prepared for anything.
All right. So what we're doing next, guys, is our interview with Ali Hillis. A note, though, obviously our hearts go out to all the people of Boston, the kind of horrors that they've faced this week between the bombings at the marathon and then the night and day long manhunt for the two suspected bombers. So our hearts go out to them, but a note about that is that this interview was actually done on Sunday, the day before any of this happened, which is why there's not really any mention or it's not kind of a topic of discussion. We just want to let you guys know that we are aware and you know, we're not oblivious to the news and we feel for everyone there. So hopefully everybody that listens to us is okay and safe and made it through this week okay. And without further ado, here's our interview with Ali Hillis.
All right, we are here, episode 101, which is ridiculous, of the Rated NA podcast with our very special guest, Ali Hillis. It's going to be myself, Scott, Hillary, and Allie hanging out and talking for a bit.
Yay.
Allie, hey, everyone.
So much for showing up and hanging out with us. It was really awesome of you to come by again.
Of course. I had to be here. I how did I miss the 100th episode?
We were just like, I don't know. It was like a scheduling nightmare with all of us riding around and Matt's moving and I don't even know. But you're here now and 101.
I'm here now. I know. I'm so sorry I missed 100. But you know what? Now I'm going to be a part of the next 100. So exactly. I feel good about that.
There you go. You are our first guest of the new 100. A little bit of history flashback. We just did a little digging while you were looking for your headphones. And we saw that the last time we interviewed you was June 17th, 2011, which seems like a really, really long time ago.
It was.
And you've been kind of tolerating us ever since then. So thank you so much.
I like that word.
Yeah.
Tolerating. No. You're so funny. No, it's a joy to see you guys out and about. It's nice to see friendly faces in the crowds now when I attend conventions and things. I think we saw each other at PAX West.
Yeah.
Didn't we? Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And the first time I met you, actually, my wife and I met you at Comic-Con at the BioWare.
Oh, that's right.
Which was super cool.
That's
It was really exciting. And you let us cut in line, which was like, I felt like the coolest person ever because we had started the podcast. And you're like, come on, let's get in line. And it was awesome. So thank you.
Yeah. If you know Liara up close and personal, she'll jump you in line in front of all the wonderful people who've been waiting for hours.
Yes. Yes, for real.
It's so, my biotic powers.
we wanted
least I could do, Ash. Yeah.
I remember the last time you did that to me, the first podcast, I was so like super embarrassed that I made like these really horrible like gushy sounds, like ugh, like I like super nerded out, and I actually had to cut them out of the podcast because I was too
did
embarrassed.
You really?
Yeah, I totally cut them out.
I think everybody wants to hear you get all fucked up.
Oh, I know.
Ash, I actually, while we were waiting, I went back and I listened to her do all of the bumpers and then hear your reaction after them. And that was pretty spot on. Like, it was
funny.
You like exploded. Yeah.
I lost my shit.
I do remember now. I remember it was really funny.
Yeah.
Because you guys had just started out, I think. I think Nerd Appropriate is just a baby early. Nerd.
We were very, very young. And, I want to say you might have been like one of our very first like remote interviews that we ever did. So it was very much a learning experience, and you said a lot of really, and this is what I do. Yeah. But you said some really super nice stuff to me about the interview, and you gave me a lot of confidence to go on and do more. And now we've done, I don't even know how many interviews we've done at this point. So
that's awesome. Yeah, and you know what? I don't really choose. I mean, interviews come through me, they come through Twitter, they come through my publicist, my manager, my agents, and I don't really choose interviews according to how big a production it's going to be or how many people it's going to reach. I pretty much just put them in a pile and start going top to bottom, which can take a really long time. But I just making a choice. It's nice to talk to someone and talk to somebody new, and it's always exciting when I talk to someone who's just starting up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you told me I think you told me that the site wasn't quite ready for the...
No, it wasn't. Yeah, no. You actually crashed our site. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
You
never got that t-shirt you promised me that said...
I promised you one of our first run t-shirts, but I asked you for your address once. I didn't want to keep asking you for your address because I didn't want you to think I was going to like pop out of a bush at your house. Like,
here's
your t-shirt. Yeah. So I was just like, well, you know, when I see her next time, I'll give her a t-shirt.
That's so funny. And you know what? I was actually just kidding, but you're right. You're right. There's a t-shirt out there for me. I totally need that t-shirt. I need to write "I crashed" on top of it, though. Crashed, more appropriate.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
So let's go back and talk about your origins. I like to do this now and kind of and figure out how people got involved in voice acting, not only voice acting, but sort of what you were like as a kid and also like when you realized that you wanted to act and wanted to pursue sort of a career in creativity, so to speak.
Sure. I was in third grade and I was in Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin, and I had started singing around the house, which was a huge mistake because then my parents shoved me out onto stage at my church, the United Methodist Church of Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin. And and I was absolutely petrified singing, "I'd like to teach the world to sing." I was petrified. I did not want to do it. I was crying. They shoved me out there. Everybody was stone quiet, staring at me. I thought I was going to die right then and there in third grade. But I started singing and became less nervous, and people started smiling. And at the end, everybody was excited and clapped a lot. And I realized that clapping was cool.
Yeah.
So then I kind of got excited about performing. And that's really, really going all the way back to literally the very first time I ever
had. So you were in third grade. That's incredible.
Third grade. Yeah. Sheboygan Falls. I'm a long way from there. But it's still in me. It's still in me, that Midwest earthiness. That's where I first, you know, got a taste of the stage, really. And then my parents were very active in putting me in all of the church plays and all the school plays. And then my first experience with a big theater and an elevator stage and 2,000, you know, member audience per night was
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is going to end up all over the interweb. But I played Annie.
Oh, no way.
Wow. Yes, I did. I was on the front page of the local paper.
That was one of my favorite plays as a kid. I loved it.
It was fun. I had a good time. And, you know, I got to work with a dog. So what more did I want?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was my first big, you know, it was literally 2,000 people a night. So it was a lot for a 10-year-old. 11-year-old. But it was a blast. I had so much fun. And so that's really where it started. And then I ended up moving to Charlotte, North Carolina. I continued staying in the theater, both in the community as well as in school and singing and all that jazz. And then I started working professionally as an actor when I was 14. Started getting paid for it and thought, hey.
That was your first paycheck? Was around
I was like, this doesn't suck. I was in Fiddler on the Roof. That's what it was. I played Hava in Fiddler on the Roof. And that was my first paycheck. And then I decided to go to school for it, quite honestly, because it was the easiest thing I could do. And I got lots of scholarships to different schools. So I just kind of thought, well, I'm not stupid. I can go to school for free if I just sing and dance. So and act. So I did. And East Carolina University.
Nice.
Raised over your head like a helicopter. And and then I always knew I'd go to New York. My teachers were fantastic there. They all were, you know, Goodman School and Meisner trained actors, and a lot of them had worked in Hollywood and on stage, screen, TV. So I felt like I got a really well-rounded education there, which was nice because I didn't choose to go to Juilliard or NYU because they were in New York City and didn't have football teams. I was like, I like football and keg stands. So I went to a school that had, you know, a more, I don't know. I gravitated toward just kind of a school that was about more things than just the arts. Cause I tend to need balance and I need to stay well-rounded in my life. I always have since I was a little girl. If I immerse myself all in the arts, I kind of get suffocate a little bit. So I need life experience and I need to scare myself at least once a day. Can't get too comfortable anyway. So
that's awesome.
I was advised to move to New York City over LA because my teachers all said, "You go to New York to be an actor, or you go to LA to be a star." I didn't really care about being a star. I just wanted to be on stage and working and be an actor. So I started doing theater in New York and pretty soon I booked the show Law and Order, which I looked at that paycheck and I said, well, that's a hell of a lot more money than doing a play there. And that got me my SAG card, which at the time I didn't really know that the SAG card was a big deal. I'd had my Equity card for so long that I didn't know. So I didn't take it for granted. I just didn't realize that was a very hard thing to get. Because I got it through my first job.
Do you still remember your Law and Order episode? Who you played or what you did?
I know what I played, but I don't remember the...
Were you killed or were you a victim of some sort?
Dude, I was a total tweaker. I was a total frat kid. Do you guys remember my role in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
Yes, yes.
That was like the grown-up version of what I played in Law & Order. And I just remember it was the first time I was ever really working on a show. I'd done a couple independent films in New York, and it was the first time I was ever in on anything on camera, really. It was.
That's incredible. And you were
in New York.
And you were a drug addict.
I'd never really even seen myself on videos. And I was a drug addict. And I just remember Benjamin Bratt was on the show at the time, if that dates it. But Ben Bratt's hair kept getting in my light. And the director kept saying, Jace Alexander, he's such a great director. He kept saying, hey, Ben, you know, you got to bend down a little bit for Allie. We have her on as many Apple boxes as she can bounce. You know, Apple boxes, I know you guys probably know, but make you taller on camera so that the camera is more workable, so that the two people in the scene aren't so different in height. That anyway, I was so tiny and I was freaking starving at the time because I was like making no money being a theater actor. So I was itty bitty and I was so freaking short compared to Ben. So his hair kept getting in my light because I couldn't get the lights up high enough to actually shine on me without his hair sticking up in the way, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. But so it was a positive experience, though.
It was a positive experience, and he was the nicest guy in the world. Cool, and cool. He knew I was a green bean, and he did not care. He was very nice. He worked with me. And then I decided to move to Los Angeles after that because it was scary and because...
And you need to scare yourself at least once a day.
Exactly. So why not just move to LA? I didn't even go visit. I was born in Huntington Beach, but I was only here till I was 6 months old. My dad was in the Navy. Okay. So I don't remember it at all. Just came back around. But yeah, I just up and moved. I packed a van and left without even having visited, or I didn't even know where I was going to live. Kind of the same thing I did in New York.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. Very
busy. Yeah, it's funny. It's weird to think about that. I was fearless.
It doesn't work for a lot of people, so it seems to work for you.
I didn't give myself anything. I gave myself a hell of a lot of preparation, hell of a lot of training, hell of a lot of balls by living in New York. I waited tables in New York at Brother Jimmy's Barbecue.
Oh,
where
geez.
I had to stand on a bar and pour shots down people's throats on a regular basis.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You've seen Liara dance. Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
I'd like to think I might be a little better than her.
But. So people are going to love this one.
I know. Did you ever think that you would be so heavily immersed into the video game community?
No, that's... Yeah, fast forward. Jump forward, too. I'm sure everybody can go to imdb.com and you can check out my stuff, all the things that I've been lucky enough
You've
to
done some
get casting.
Crazy, I mean, your list is insane. It's like literally
kind of
all
random.
Over the place. Like
it's random. I'm
it
telling
is
you,
so random, but in a cool way. I mean, like just the different things that you've done. It's pretty staggering. Like if you just look at it, you're like, well, you know, how the hell do you have time to do it all? First of all, and then second of all, it's all so different.
It's all so different.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, as a theater actor, you can be a lot of things if you have talent and training because, you know, the audience is a little far away, so you can play all kinds of different roles. And, you know, you think, wouldn't it be obvious that if you're an actor and you can play all kinds of different roles, that would be an asset to your career? I mean, you'd think, but you get to LA and the first thing people start to tell you or that you start to learn is, you know, what is your niche? What's your stereotype? And they start to try to type you.
Okay.
And my first show, now IMDb hasn't caught up. IMDb was developed and established long after I'd done Law & Order. And that was my first credit. And NYPD Blue was my first credit in LA. So the two top shows, you know, really out there, I booked back to back in the two cities, which I was really proud of, but they're not on IMDb. I think IMDb for me starts with Felicity, which is a great show too, was a great show. But yeah, moving out here was really, really freaky. And I realized quickly that I was supposed to type myself, but my first two shows were dramas. And then another show that's not on my IMDb was a pilot I did called Being Dunbar, where I starred opposite Breckin Meyer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like him a lot. He's awesome.
So, yeah, he's an awesome guy. He's a lot of fun. We were like brother and sister on that show. Only we played love interest. But we had a lot of good banter behind the scenes. We're always like messing with each other. But he's a really good guy, a lot of fun to work with, super talented and funny. There are great people on that show. Oh, I could list them. But anyway, so doing that show, then all of a sudden I was deemed a comedy girl, a half hour comedy girl. That was for Fox. So then I only went out for comedies and it was only TV. And even though I'd done all these indie films in New York and done two dramatic, like huge dramatic TV shows, all of a sudden I was comedy girl. So it kept going back and forth. And I think people didn't really know where to put me. They're like, they wanted to put a label on my forehead, but there just wasn't a label. And the kind of the cool thing, fast forwarding to answer your question, Hillary, is I got a call from a friend after I'd done Must Love Dogs and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and some big stuff. I did a pilot that year with Jessica Simpson.
Hey.
She's awesome. And I am not being facetious. That girl, she's a good girl. I'm sorry for all the things that have happened to her, but I'm glad she seems happy now. So anyway, she's still doing okay. Yeah. But my friend Adam calls and he's with a voiceover agent out here. Oh gosh, Don LaFontaine. You know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy who did In a World. Yeah,
he's the movie guy.
Yeah.
The movie guy. Yeah, he has since passed away sadly and suddenly. But my friend was at that agency. He called me. He said, hey, there's a girl that just left this agency. She kind of sounds like you. Would you ever consider doing voiceover? And I'm like, sure. I don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I walked into the agency and they said, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Do you have a voiceover reel? And I said, no. And they said, okay, we'll go make a reel and then send it to us and come back. And I was like, okay. How much is that going to cost? And they were like, oh, it'd probably be like $1,000 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, since those checks from those big movies haven't really rolled in yet and I'm really busy with a lot of other things, I probably won't make that reel, actually, to tell you the truth. I will slack off and not make it. So can I just go grab some copy, you know, some pages of dialogue from commercials or whatever out of your little box and just read it in your booth right here? And they were like, sure, but don't you want to kind of prepare or, you know, are you sure? Because that's pretty chancy. And I kind of looked at him like, you know, I can do this or I can't, right?
You're like, I'm a professional. Like
either exactly. Yeah, I got this.
I just, again, no fear. I was very confident in my work. And you know, I had worked my whole life to become a good actor. But I had absolutely no experience with anything when it came to voiceover or doing on-camera work. So it was literally jumping into pools of stuff that I'd never experienced in my life. So I could have drowned or, you know, come out swimming and thank goodness, you know, it turned out okay. But that day I ended up reading in their little booth and the booth director threw some music behind it and submitted it. And those three spots actually stayed on my reel for years and years and years because I was still too lazy to make a reel. So they signed me in the end, which was great. And I learned who Don LaFontaine was, which
that's
cool. And I just started auditioning. And I got lucky. There was great agents there at the Tishman Agency, and they really pushed me. So right away, I got like a campaign for Subway sandwiches.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and McDonald's. You know, now it's Subway. Get the whatever it is for only $1.99. Subway, eat fresh. Stupid stuff like that, but hey, I paid bills, so that was awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so just stuff like that. And then I just was auditioning in their booth, of course, and I remember the audition for Lightning in Final Fantasy 13.
So is that really what sort of kicked off? Because now you are huge. I mean, I'm just
it was crazy. You know, you guys have talked to Liam O'Brien, haven't you?
We actually haven't talked to Liam.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, no, you must. You must. That boy is
he's on the list. Yeah, he's on the list.
And information.
He's on the list.
He is a rock star. He really is. And he's an amazing actor. He went to NYU.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's... I have to say, most of the people I know in voiceover are some of the best actors I've ever worked with. The most talented, the most... they can just do anything and play any character.
You know, I just actually watched the credits for BioShock Infinite and Troy Baker's singing at the end of that.
Nice.
And I never realized that guy has an incredible singing voice. Like it
he kind, does.
It
yeah.
kind of well, blew he was me away. In a band. Was he? See, I had no idea. And like I was watching him do that, and I was like, God, like so many of you guys, like and, you guys meaning voice actors, is so
you guys,
so, you guys, so many of you guys,
us dudes, yeah,
are so incredibly talented that it just blows my mind. That's why I love you know having voice actors on all the time, just because you're always such an interesting. You always have these interesting stories of how you got into
interesting crowd. I know it's a very. I find it to be, for the most part, a very educated crowd, and I find it to be, you know, like Troy. He's starting another band up again. I think he's been tweeting about it, and it's just everybody's so involved. Everybody's really involved in charity organizations, and just I really love the whole voiceover community because everybody's just active, creative, intelligent, down to earth. Down to earth for the most part. I mean, you don't meet a lot of people in voiceover who have big egos.
That's you
know?
Cool.
They know they're good. Not to say that they don't have an insane amount of confidence. They don't know that they're good. Of course they do.
Yeah.
They have to. It takes a lot of confidence to stand behind a microphone in a room all by yourself and make up crap in your head and hope you sound like you're making sense.
Yeah.
I remember once a person came up to you and asked you when we were working at the Biro base, and they said, you know, what's the number one thing that I can do to be in voice acting? And I remember this, your answer was so awesome because you just said, you know what, you should learn how to be an actor first.
Yes.
Because it's all about, you know, transferring emotion and being an actor and really making people believe you. And I thought that was such great advice. So,
yeah, and it's so intimate. I mean, you can't lie behind the mic. It hears everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I, you know, Ash knows, I haven't really talked about it much. Everybody knows I'm a big animal rescuer and dogs. And my sweet boxer boy, Cooper, passed away last week.
So
he was only seven.
So
yeah,
sorry.
It sucks.
So
it sucks. But let me tell you, it's funny. I called right away to a job that I cannot speak of. Ooh. And I said, guys, I'm out. Like, I can't come in today. My dog passed away, and I was crying all night, and I sound awful. And they were like, oh, God, please, of course, don't worry about it. Like, they've paid for studio time. They don't know if they can get somebody in there.
Yeah.
But they've said, you know what? You take care of you. That's more important. You know,
that's
and I would never cancel a session, ever,
yeah.
ever, mm-hmm. unless I was just physically incapable. And at that moment, aside from my wavering emotional state, I just sounded so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, they were so understanding and so cool about it. But also part of me was like, if I go in today, you're going to hear one sad character because it's very, and not to say that I'm not capable of rising above emotion, but it's much easier in on camera, believe it or not, to walk in and play the character and walk out and, you know, step back into the emotions you're feeling in your real life.
Hmm.
You know, I love the advice I got from a director when I was in like eighth grade. I was doing the musical Bugsy Malone. It's such a good movie. I was doing such a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I still love that movie. But I had a director say, drop it at the door. He was like, I don't want anybody bringing in anything that happened outside of this theater. You drop it at the door, you do your job, you can leave and pick it back up again. And that's what I was taught and I used it my whole life. But when it comes to voiceover, it's just so freaking intimate. It's so intimate. It hears, that mic hears everything. And sometimes, even though I know I can rise above it for movies or TV, a voice, I know that they're gonna hear my sadness. So, you know, luckily I didn't have a lot of jobs last week. I was able to do, I recorded some Naruto last week.
Oh, cool.
And Karin's all over the place, so she was not too hard to play. She's an emotional disaster anyway. So that worked out okay. But like Lightning, if I were to record her or if I were to record Liara or if I were to record, you know, just some of the characters that I have a lot of lines with and that have very intricate emotional changes. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, though. I mean,
you might hear that I'm a little sad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? Fans would pick up on it too. They would be the first ones to say, like, you sound different in this scene. I wonder why, you know?
God, I love
Yeah.
I love the fans of gaming and my fans in particular. I still am made uncomfortable by the saying out loud, my fans. It feels weird. Oh. It feels weird. But then when I learned that people are very proud to be fans, I'm like, that's freaking awesome. I value it so much. And, you know, people that don't understand the gaming world, some of my friends who are actors and non-actors who don't game at all and have never been to a single convention, A, they're missing out.
They are.
And B, they'll ask me like, oh, don't you get, you know, you get some weirdos, you get some stalky people. I'm like, not really. For the most part, I have met the nicest, most intelligent, most creative, most down-to-earth, most fun-loving and adventurous people on all of my, you know, tours to London and Seattle and wherever the heck I end up.
Well, I remember there's like fans out the door to see you. It's kind of like mind blowing because you know you're there and they see you and their eyes get so wide and like they're like, oh my god,
it's so neat.
What is that like for you?
It's cool. I mean, I always think, you know, they're here to see Liara, so it's me, but it's her. You know, it's cool. It's interesting. I'm still making sense of it all because I think there's a lot more passion in the people that are fans of my work in gaming. You know, a lot of people are fans of the movies I've done and they'll be like, oh my gosh, it's you. That's so cool. You know, but
yeah,
you know, in the vegetable aisle at the grocery store or something, you end up in a weird conversation with someone who recognizes you. Never fails. I'm in my yoga clothes with like no makeup on and a fat on my head, but yeah, always. It's like, oh geez, don't take a picture with me. Please don't tweet that picture.
That happens to me too sometimes. Oh, right. I'm in the yoga clothes and I'm just like, no makeup.
I mean, hey, I bet it does. Hey, you're a teacher. That's pretty cool. They see you out and about. They're like, yo, teach. I didn't know you, Bob Rock.
I honestly, so like how you're seeing me now, if you have your camera on, this is how I dress. Like I call it my civilian clothes. When I teach, I'm in like a jacket tie and my students never recognize me because I dress completely differently. It's like a total like Clark Kent situation.
You're cosplaying as a teacher.
Yeah.
So Ash, are you saying you're Superman?
I'm Superman, I'm a pretty sad Superman with no abilities.
Wow.
Other than perhaps dick jokes. That's pretty
much. Oh, no.
You went there.
And we've just changed the entire feel of this interview. I'm just kidding. Well, I almost made a joke that, oh, yeah, now I see you. What, do you always do interviews without pants? Or just this one? Or I see I didn't go there, but there we go. I'm trying to keep my stuff clean, people.
There you go.
You don't know who's listening.
You don't have to stoop to Ash's level. It's okay.
I know.
I'm sorry, I stooped. God darn it. He pulls me right down there.
Yep.
But anyway, the fans rock. Fans rock.
No, and really quick, how amazing you are to your fans. We did last year at PAX Prime in Seattle. We invited you out. We did like a little community gathering and you totally showed up, which blew people's minds because a lot of people were huge fans of yours. And all of a sudden you came strolling in and people were just, you know, slack-jawed, which was great. I mean, you know,
gotten off a plane.
You did too. You're just like, oh, I'll be there. And you showed up and
I keep my promises. That's one thing. And I always feel bad if I ever have to cancel a convention. I had to cancel London one year, MCM Expo. I felt so bad. I booked a movie and I couldn't go.
Yeah.
And I promised I would come again. I promised and I did. So I do try to, I really value, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm an actor. Maybe it's why I became an actor, but I just have a lot of empathy and I feel what other people feel. I can't help it. Sometimes I wish I could turn it off. And so I get really excited when the fans get really excited. So I also get really sad when I have to disappoint people. So I never ever want to disappoint in performance or just showing up when it means something. And I really appreciated your inviting me to that night. I appreciated being included. And I appreciated the wine. And
it was a good night.
It was a really good night.
That's right. You were there too.
Yeah.
That was a good night.
To continue talking about sort of the gaming community, there's sort of a shift that's taking place with the role of female characters, and it's changing in a positive way, and we're getting really great female protagonists, and you've played a number of them as well. And we were just wondering what your thoughts were about that, or how it feels to be sort of a part of this like sea change in gaming, where where there's sort of more equality and there's stronger female characters.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that. I was talking about Liam O'Brien earlier. I don't remember if I finished what I was saying. I don't think so. We get a tangent. I'm a tangent queen. I just change channels every 5 seconds. ADD. When I first booked, my first big role really was Liara, and then Lightning, and then there was Ariel Hansen in StarCraft II, and I didn't realize what a big deal it was to have booked Liara, period, Lightning, period, Ariel, period, yeah, much less all three of them. And so it was Liam who kind of showed me the way and said, you know, you have to understand that it's kind of an anomaly what you did. You kind of booked a trifecta. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you just booked, you know, the three booked with the three biggest movie companies you could have. Just equate it to that, you know. Yeah. You're working with Spielberg, you're working with, you know, and he listed. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. I didn't realize, because I'd been working so hard to be an actor, because our job in TV and film, there's really not a break, because you're either auditioning or working all day and you're studying all night. Mm-hmm. So it's very different than voiceover, where I get to go to work for 4 hours and come home and I can't study because I'm not allowed to have any of the material ahead of time,
right?
Which is awesome. I'm kind of better on the off the cuff anyway. So I kind of like not having material until that day. You have to be a very good cold reader though. But Liam really helped me understand, you know, what a big deal it was, because I don't think I was talking about it as if I didn't appreciate it on purpose, but I think I didn't appreciate it because I didn't understand that it was that big of a thing. And so I really started doing more research and understanding more what it was I was doing and who it was I was entertaining and why people are so passionate about it. And, anyway,
the cosplay helps too when people are dressed as your characters. Yeah,
it does. It's really, really cool. So booking those roles made me happy because, you know, the more research I did, the more I realized that, yes, there are not a lot of big, you know, female roles where they're strong women. I liked the fact that Lightning, you know, for the most part, was never a victim. She was kind of the one saving everybody else. Steel Guard. and Liara, I love that she stood on her own 2 feet. And I love the way BioWare created the relationships in that game, even though Fox gave it a bad rap and said it was gratuitous and this and that. I'm like, have you played the game? Because you have to go through 29 hours of wooing this person.
Exactly.
And cultivating a friendship, then a relationship, then negotiating with yourself and the other character whether you're going to take it to the next level, because is it a good idea? You know, and then also BioWare creating a female-female relationship really excited me, because this is the world we live in, and this is what's real. And I really loved that people had the choice of who they wanted to play.
Absolutely.
In the game. But yeah, all the really strong female roles I've been really excited about, and I've had a few more come out here and there.
Yes. Speaking of a few more here and there, you're a master of transitions. You just Judgment just came out. Gears of War Judgment. You played
just trying to help
a brand. Yeah, you're good at this. And you played a brand new character, Sophia Hendricks, who was a member of the COG. And you know, the funny thing about this is, I actually played through the whole campaign with my wife, and my wife is a fan of yours.
Tell her I said hi.
I totally will. And the four of us sat down and actually played. Yes, they're actually doing better, by the way.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, he's doing better. And she was really excited because she actually got to play through the whole campaign as you, which I thought was pretty cool. She's like, I can play as Allie Hillis. And I was like, yeah. and so my question is, she was really into it. It was a lot of fun. She chainsawed people with your voice, which was, you know, kind of a weird thing.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Oh,
so adorable. So my question is, how did Epic and People Can Fly approach you for that role? Because I talked to you on occasion, and when I heard about that, it kind of came out of the blue. So that one was sort of a strange role that I never really saw you in that franchise. But then once I heard it, I was like, it's awesome. And like your voice was totally different too. It was a lot lower and I felt like bassier than ever before. So you were kind
partially because I screamed my head off so much that I became bassy. It was like, I'm quoting someone else, but I won't credit him in case he doesn't want to be quoted. But someone told me if you ever do that franchise, it's like putting your cords through a meat grinder. They're like you're literally spitting blood by the end of the session. And I would say that he was spot on.
Wow.
Because it was brutal. It's as brutal as it is in the game for us. It's really hard. And I'd love to say, oh, yeah, you know, they courted me. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, you play good, tough chicks. Get over here. But no, I just auditioned, just like everybody else. I don't even think – I'm a request now sometimes, which is really special when I get that email that says, you were requested for. I'm like, oh, wow, thanks. That one wasn't – I don't think so. I think it wasn't a request. Maybe it was. I don't think so, though. I think I just auditioned like everybody else.
That's cool.
You know, Chris Borders directs that, and he's – really great to work with, and maybe he knew of me. I think we'd met a few times, but I don't think we'd ever really worked together. So he was the one that got to put my cords through the meat grinder. I'm not sure I'll ever sing Broadway notes again, but
we're glad that you survived. Because
I'm working on it.
It was a fun role.
It was a lower. I chose a deeper voice, and then when I got into the game, mm-hmm. and realizing because you guys know this, I think, but I'm not sure all the fans know. That when we audition for a game, mm-hmm. It has a fake name, usually a fake title, and a fake character name. Oh. So we don't know what we're auditioning for the most part.
Oh, wow.
Until we get there to record on the first day. Sometimes even then, I've been halfway through games before where I really didn't know what game I was doing until several sessions in. You know, where then they reveal to me and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm doing Gears. Holy I was like, you've got really. So this is the one I've heard about. And here I am.
Yeah.
Oh, I was very, very excited to be a part of that franchise. But at the same time, it was those are some of the hardest working people.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the Gears franchise is all running and gunning and screaming and.
Yeah,
but
it's a lot.
You still brought a lot to the character, which I liked a lot. So I was glad you were part of it because I'm a huge Gears fan too. So when I heard you were in that, I was
excited. I actually really like to play Gears. I like Gears.
It's fun, isn't it?
I haven't been able to yet, but
Ash
yeah,
is
I like
a resident Gears historian.
I am.
On
yeah,
the site. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I read the books.
Yes,
you read the books.
I read all of the novels.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah, it's way nerdy. Are you at liberty to talk at all about Fuse yet?
I can't talk about it. I can say that
you're in it.
Yeah, but I can't
say anything.
I don't think I can say anything. It's so new.
Yeah. We don't want to get in trouble, but we
do. Yeah, the writer is a really good friend of mine. They're all good friends of mine, but awesome. I would specifically be hung by TJ.
We don't want to get you in trouble.
We go to brunch.
We want to plug it though because we're excited, and you're in it, and Jennifer Hale, you're both in it together again, skipping merrily through the destruction together, which we're excited about. So
I love her in real life. I love that woman. Talk about talented. She's a queen.
We had her on, a little while ago, and. It was pretty awesome. She was busting into Cinderella voices and
nice.
Yeah, like my wife.
Cinderella just shows up from time to time. Remember,
it was kind of funny.
That's
awesome. I need to do that more. It's funny because I was in a session the other day for a game that shall remain unmentioned. But they were like, you never do the voices. You never like break into voices in the session. And I'm like, should I? I was like, I don't know. I'm just one of those actors that goes in and I. Try to be efficient and get my, you know, crap done and get out. And I realized that it's probably, you know, it would behoove me to practice and have some fun with different voices in the booth. I usually don't do that unless I'm auditioning for something new, but I love hearing all the different voices, man. Jen can do anything. She's amazing.
Yeah. I just actually played through the latest BioShock and didn't realize it was her until like almost the end of the game. Yeah, I had no idea. And I'm usually really quick at picking up on her work, and I had no idea it was so different. So
well, yeah, you're telling me new news too. I didn't know she was.
Yeah, she plays a pretty big character in that, and I had no idea.
That's awesome.
So are you cool to talk about some rescue stuff? Because I have a couple questions.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. And also, okay. I don't know if anybody out there is playing. There's a Windows 8 game out that's getting really good reviews, but I don't hear a lot about it from the fans. It's called Adara.
Adara.
Yeah, it's getting great reviews, and I've been recording that one for a while.
What?
And it's a lot of fun. It's a different kind of game, but I don't want to give anything away. But
I'm gonna go get it right now.
I'm gonna get it right now too, Adara.
Yeah, it's getting. I mean, I've been looking at reviews, and I'm like, wow, this thing's getting really good reviews. So.
I've seen it in the store, but I didn't know what it was. But I'm sold.
Yeah, I'm the main character in that one.
Cool. I'm totally.
But it's
into
a different. What I liked about Adara, it's Microsoft. It was interesting because there was no director in the booth. Usually, we are in a small. I'm sure most of you know by now, mm-hmm. fans included. We are in a small booth talking to ourselves. Normally, we don't even get to see any of the graphics. I got to see nothing for Mass Effect, but I got to see a lot of stuff for Final Fantasy because they'd already recorded it in Japanese. But for this one, I got to see nothing, and all my direct. There were like four people directing at the same time.
Oh, wow.
From different parts of the country.
Oh, that's
on my
cool.
headset, and their engineer, and it was really confusing at first. Sam Riegel's in that too, who's a great great voiceover actor and director. And I think he's directing Sophia the First that Jen was working on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for Disney. And we have so much fun in it. And what I liked about it is we didn't know what the character really was for the first session. We were just trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of started letting me take it a little bit with direction, but kind of started letting me put more comedy into it. And the more comedy I put into it, the more the lines got funnier.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's really cool. I like the game because it's not your typical, you know,
yeah,
I better stop,
looking at
look inside
now.
Of this chest. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, it's an adventure game,
I
sort of like
if
the old.
A key in there. Yeah,
oh, that's
exactly.
Very cool. I totally
Instead
want to play
it's like,
this
ah, am I going to have to go any further? Oh no, another chest. You know, it's that sarcasm
perfect.
And it's
like self-referential almost.
It is. And I talk to myself. I mean, the character talks to herself throughout the game, and it's the most me character I've ever played.
Oh my gosh.
It's been so much fun. And it was unexpected that it was going to be that much fun because, like I said, out of the gate, we weren't quite sure what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they were. I just wasn't sure what it was going to be, like how it was going to play out, and not getting to see any graphics whatsoever and mm-hmm. flying blind was – I was a bit confusing at first. But then once they started, it's just been so much fun, and I continuously record that.
It looks
so,
really cool.
Yeah, let me know. I mean, I'd love to hear what you got. I always love to hear.
Yeah, we'll
what the
definitely
fans
let you
think,
know.
Good or bad. Sure. I love to hear. So tweet me about it.
We Absolutely. Will for sure.
I can't believe this one didn't get
I don't
on
know.
Radar. Yeah,
I know, it looks
we have
like
really
right
big
up
radar
alley.
Dishes too. But we
right up my alley.
Hey,
oh yeah, but it's a fun. It's a fun one. It's
That's
silly.
Very cool.
I remember I was surprised too with I started playing Kid Icarus not knowing that you were
oh,
in
you
that.
Did?
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's her. I'm so excited. And I was like totally stoked on the game for the rest of the time I played it.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'm glad you played it. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That game was interesting for me because, as you know, I was giving direction the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yes.
like walking a fine line between being a character and put out clear direction. Ginny McSwain directed that, who directed the first Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. it was really fun to get to work with her again. And she's such a specific director. She knew exactly what she wanted. And she was able to help me understand that this is a character that really directs him where to go and what to do. And I'm directing the player
right.
Because I hadn't really done a character like that before. And it's not as much a character as it is a person that has to give direction.
The humor was really sharp though. And
yeah, they did well with it.
Yeah. Like some of the jokes were so bizarre, but like the delivery, like it was a very like sharp witted delivery. And I really liked
yeah.
it. It was like, it was really funny.
They let us get a little more dry as the game went
yes.
on. They let us kind of, yeah. So if there was a joke that was a bit cheesy, we could kind of morph it into making it dry.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of let us do that because off the bat, you know, some of the jokes were a little like, oh man. But it was such a cute game and the characters were so much fun.
Yeah, like you could hear the eye rolls sometimes at some of the jokes, and I loved know. It. Yeah,
yeah, and they allowed that. It was cool. I mean, the mm-hmm. producers were so much fun, and they allowed us to kind of make fun of ourselves sometimes, which is always great.
That's, cool. That's especially, great. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thanks. Cool. That was a fun one. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones right now. I'd have to literally go back through and look.
There's so many. I mean, the gaming industry is so top secret. I'm sure you're working on stuff that you're not allowed to even like whisper, you know?
Yeah, that's the truth. And it's hard. You know what? In movies and TV shows are becoming more like that now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We just got out of pilot season for television. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you read these pilots and now it's like stamped all over the side. So you're trying to read your lines through these big stamps that say confidential, do not share, do not publish. And sometimes they won't give you a script anymore because, you know, people are freaking putting them on the net. And it's like you can't put a pilot idea on the net because, A, if it doesn't get picked up, it might get reworked and put somewhere else on some other network. Mm-hmm. You know, or who knows? You know, it's somebody's original idea. Don't splatter it all over the place. Yeah. But so it's making it hard for us because, you know, it's hard to make choices as an actor if you can't read the whole story. Yeah, you know, if you've got 3 pages, you're like, oh, 3 pages. And she's supposed to be blonde and funny. Like, okay.
Everything else is redacted.
Ruining everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's, yeah.
All right. So Dog Rescue. I first learned about this from the first time we chatted. And I became a fan of yours as a person, not only of your work, because I think this is really something that's awesome that you do and something that I know you are insanely passionate about. So let's just, I guess, start very quickly and if you can tell the story of how you got involved with Dog Rescue and kind of how big of a part of your life it is. And by the way, we're all dog owners here and we love that you do this. So,
yay. I love the animals. I help with kitties too, but doggies have been, you know, everybody's got to pick something. It's hard to pick and choose what you're going to do. One of my best friends does kitties. So we help each other.
Cool.
She rescues cats and bottle feeds. She actually does something cool, which anybody can do with puppies or kittens. When puppies and kittens get turned into the shelter, they get sick really fast, and a lot of times they die because they're separated from their mother, or it's just there's too much sickness there. They can't, their little systems can't handle it. So my sweet friend Brandy, she's an on camera actress, does voiceover as well. She gets those little baby kittens, like 6 at a time, and she bottle feeds them until they're 2 pounds, so that they're strong enough to go back to the shelter and get a home.
Because
the kittens will get adopted for the most part. But yeah, she'll get up like every 2 hours at night and amazing. Feed all the little kittens and go back to sleep. I know, it's incredible. It's so cool. But I got into it. My first dog that was I grew up with dogs. And my parents' first dog was a rescue. And then after that, they got dogs from breeders. And my first dog was, we found her on a trailer park. On set in North Carolina, we were shooting on a trailer park at a trailer park, and she was underneath a downed tree with another puppy.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, there's an actress, Meredith Monroe. She and I both took the puppies.
From
and
Dawson's Creek? I remember her.
Yes, from Dawson's Creek.
I had such a crush on her when I was in high school.
Well, Ash, I will tell her.
Tell her.
I will tell her.
Tell her that it was unhealthy.
I had crepes with her just the other day. Imagine
tell her you know this dude that teaches high school.
I know. I will. He has a mad crush on you to this day.
To his wife.
That's too funny. But yeah, so she and I, we were just asking, we're like, whose puppies are these, you know? And this guy comes out of his trailer and he's like, them's my pups. You know, we're like, okay. He's like, they're for sale if you want to buy them. And we're like, okay. We'll buy them.
Yeah.
Just because he hadn't been able to find the dogs. It was like 100 degrees outside, and they were stuck under a downed tree.
Wow.
And I picked 38 fleas off of a 7-week-old puppy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, my boxer. She was awesome. She passed away last year. But, yeah, so that was kind of the first save, even though she was from a breeder, but it wasn't – it's a backyard situation. And after having her, I just – like you guys, you understand. Anyone out there who has a pet – understands that once you have them and you understand how much they bring to your life and how much they give completely selflessly, if only humans could learn to love as purely unconditionally as these animals love us, mm-hmm. it would be a much better world. But I think once you have one, you start realizing that, wow, there's just so many out there that don't have a home. And at least I did. And I started just volunteering at the local shelters, which is a hard thing to do because you know that ultimately
you see a lot of bad stuff there.
You see a lot of bad stuff. You don't see it, but you know it happens.
Yeah.
You know that if a dog's been there too long, ultimately they're going to have to be sent to a better place, I like to think. Mm. I have to think that, but yeah, in the shelters, awareness is key. You know, there's an organization here in Los Angeles that's doing something groundbreaking that I love. United Hope for Animals is the name of the rescue. But what they do is they go into the worst animal shelters. They clean up the doggies, you know, as many as they can, and kitties, and they take beautiful photos of them.
Like, oh, that's with a great idea.
Bright red background, or a bright teal blue background, and they do it and they make them look beautiful and cute and take it with a really good camera. Then on top of that, they have somebody who's likable, you know, a person who has a great personality, get on camera with the animal and play with them and like rub them up and snuggle them and roll them on their backs and talk about the animal as they're doing that and say, you know, hey, this guy is a little love bug. He doesn't shed. We can tell he'd probably be great with kids. He needs a little potty training, but, you know, he just can't get enough love, you know, and they'll talk mm-hmm. about the animal on video so that instead of all these dogs and cats and pigs and peacocks, I'm not kidding. I've seen peacocks in animal shelters.
Only really? In LA,
really? You adopt a bunch of peacocks, put them in your backyard and then realize it's a bad idea. Come on.
Wow.
So yeah, I've seen an insane amount of animals, horses, so many different kinds. And the fact that they're just sitting there in a shelter rotting because nobody knows they're there.
Yeah.
So the fact that with Facebook and Twitter and between social media and email, the more people that volunteer at the animal shelters, the more animals get adopted, because when you're aware, you can make more people aware, and word of mouth is the best. But now that there are these organizations who are taking great photos and great videos of these beautiful dogs. We have a big population of pit bulls in Los Angeles and Chihuahuas. For some reason, they are literally, and this sounds ridiculous, but they are literally 2-for-1 at the shelters.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can get a 2-for-1 deal if you want 2 pit bulls or 2 Chihuahuas or a pit bull Chihuahua.
Would you say volunteering then would probably be the number one advice you'd give to somebody like in their community if they wanted to get involved with fostering animals or helping that cause?
Oh, that's a great question. Thanks. And I get really passionate, so I tend to run off on all kinds of subjects on this.
No, we like it.
My favorite thing, I fostered 5 different dogs last year. Mm-hmm. 2 of them were broken leg dogs that we found at the shelter that were in the medical ward. Nobody would have adopted them because they were stuck in the medical ward where nobody could get to them.
Yeah.
So we raised money. My husband does Ironman triathlons.
It's crazy.
Whoa.
Out of his mind. I only run if somebody's chasing me.
Just watching those would make me too tired. Like,
oh, it's nuts. Yeah, he's crazy. But what's cool about it is we can raise money with that. Like, anytime you do a marathon, you can raise money for a cause you believe in, right? So we got two broken leg dogs last year, raised money, fixed their legs, found them great homes. And then, you know, another dog actually came to me on Twitter. There's a really sweet fan on Twitter who lives in the area. And she tweeted to me and Laura Bailey and Troy Baker and Jen Hale, and all of us are dog people, but I'm more active in the fostering and stuff, and I have experience with it. So it was really sweet, and she was very sincere, and she loved dogs and, you know, loved animals, and unfortunately her dog at home was not getting along with this one. Long story short, her dad had found the dog, and so I took it over and raised the money, and we found that dog a great home. So that was good teamwork with a fan we did there. Another one came as a stray. It was hiding under a car and somebody found it. And I said, give it to me, 'cause that's just what I do. But, I would, you know, my guy is really 50% of it. So I can't take all the credit, but it's really fun. I mean, to have 5 foster dogs last year, yes, we fall in love with every one of them.
Right.
They're dear and precious to our hearts, but they will not leave our house until they find a home as good or better. And the way we do it is we work with local rescues. If anyone out there is excited about animal rescue and And the shelter is a great place to go and volunteer. If you can volunteer at a shelter, please do that. If you can't commit to those, you know, Saturdays or a couple days a week or whatever it is, but you're at home, like maybe you're a stay-at-home mom, or maybe, you know, maybe you work from home and you work long hours or whatever, fostering is so much fun. All you have to do is call. You have a favorite breed, maybe, you know, you love silky terriers or you know, golden retrievers. Then you can call that rescue that rescues that specific type of breed. Or if you don't care, you just like mutts, but you want a small dog, big dog, you know, call any rescue and say, hey, listen, I'd love to foster a dog in my home. It's the best place for these animals to go, because when they're at a rescue, they're in a kennel situation. And anyone who has an animal, cat, dog, or otherwise knows that a kennel is not the place where a dog or cat is going to develop its personality and behavior. Mm-hmm. It's better to have them in a home. And also then when somebody goes to adopt the dog or cat, that foster parent can say, you know what, this animal is so great, good with kids, good with cats, you know, completely potty trained, still learning to sit, needs a little training on leash. Like, we give them 100% truth of what this animal is, because we love them and we don't want them back once they've been adopted.
Yeah.
Because it is hard enough to give them away the first time.
Yeah.
If you bring it back, I might just keep it. Like, dude, why did they bring you back? You're the good one. But anyway, so fostering, yeah. Thanks for asking that.
No, that's awesome.
It's a great excellent thing to do. Yeah, and it's fun.
We admire the hell out of it. We think it's great that you do it.
Oh, it's cool. And if you have one dog and you want to get two, but you're not sure you want to commit to it, this might sound cold, but it's a rent-to-own situation.
That's good. Yeah.
If it has good chemistry with your dog and you think it's the right fit, you keep that one. If not, that one goes to its next home that the rescue searches out and finds and says, hey, here's a family who might like to adopt your dog. Can they come over and visit it? Great. Do you approve? Perfect. There's the family, and you can take another foster dog. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can keep trying and seeing the chemistry with your dog and how it works in your home.
I love that idea.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's good for everybody, because the rescues don't want an animal to end up in a home that's not right, that it's not right for anybody. You know, you want it to be right for everybody. So, it's cool. And fostering is just, I get a lot out of it. It takes, you know, as actors, our attention is always on ourselves. It's annoying. And you know, it's always, especially with on-camera stuff, you know, how we look. Oh, we like her, but her hair looks, can we color her hair? Like, it's just all about aesthetics. And, you know, in voiceover, not as much, but it's very much about, we have our attention on ourselves a lot playing these characters and whatever. So for me, it's just like in school, I couldn't pick a college where I was completely immersed in the art of what I do. I need a break. I need balance. And for me, having these furry guys who need us so badly and who without us honestly would not survive. Mm-hmm. And yet all they want to do is give us love and throw us a party every time we come home.
Yeah, for real.
And they don't care what you look like either.
Yeah,
no, they don't
true
care. And sadly, they don't care if you hurt them. They will still come back wiggling.
Isn't that so bizarre?
They just keep hoping, you know?
Yeah.
Keep hoping you're going to treat them right the next time. Yeah. And that's what really gets me, if we could only learn.
Yeah.
You know, wow. Love like that. I know.
You're getting me emotional.
I know. It's like we're watching that commercial with Sarah McLachlan in the background. I can't watch it. I have to turn it off.
I know. Those commercials are so great, but I'm going to pitch a new commercial to them. You know, play that one, because that gets some people. But why don't we play a commercial? Why don't we make a commercial where we're going through the shelter and seeing all the beautiful, amazing, happy animals in there? That makes you want to go to the shelter.
As opposed to being scared that you're going to break out into tears when you walk in the door. Yeah.
Yeah. We're guilting. Guilting is a good way to get things done sometimes. I use it with my husband. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't we all?
It doesn't work for me when I try and guilt my wife into things. Nothing happens. It's so strange.
Smart for you, baby.
That's true.
That's what it is.
Oh, I really want to unload the dishwasher, but I'm so tired from standing up in the sound booth all day.
Oh, man.
All day. But yeah, it's these doggies are the best, and cats, and I love having animals in my life. I know it's not for everybody, but it is for me, and I love helping these guys find a new life when they haven't been treated well. you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so we're going to start winding things down, closing things up. But we have something called the lightning round. And then I wrote, get it, yeah. Like lightning round.
Right. I love
yeah, I know, I'm so cheesy. These are just very quick questions that you should try and answer in as few words as possible.
Okay.
So you're
That's hard for me.
This will be fun. What is your favorite beverage or liquid?
Do you know the first one that came to my head was water? That's so boring.
No, that's good. That's fine. This is the first thing that comes in your mind.
Yep.
What did you do on your 21st birthday?
I went to hear a band in Greenville, North Carolina, and I did my very first stage dive.
Whoa.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome. Do you remember what band it was?
I was drinking Nuts and Berries. I don't remember the band, but I was drinking a drink called Nuts and Berries. And the next morning, I was almost sickened because my Awa Pui shampoo smelled exactly like that drink. It was brutal.
Nuts and berries. That does not sound like,
no.
Like
my
something
shampoo,
that should
like,
be consumed.
Smelled exactly like it. Oh, I was about to barf in the shower.
Scott, why don't you take the next one?
If you had your own spaceship, what would you call it?
Oh, geez.
This is a hard one.
Yeah.
I feel like
I'd call it the Schmoo. I'd name it after my dog. He just passed away. There, Cooper. Oh, call it the Schmoo. That was his nickname. That'd be Spaceship Schmoo.
Perfect.
Love it.
Hillary, take the next one.
Yeah. So what's the coolest thing you've ever gotten from a fan?
Oh, man. That's an unfair question.
I know.
Okay.
I know Ash made these.
I know. Well, there was this t-shirt that somebody promised me this one time.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. The coolest thing I ever got. Now, you guys, I've gotten so many amazing things from people. Oh, from all over the world. Amazing things. And I'm grateful every single time. I made my garage into sort of a man cave, only it's, you know, it's kind of a cave for whoever wants to go there.
Cool.
And it's very cool, like a big TV and, you know, it's pimped out. It's cool. But in that, it's sort of become, my friends all ask me, you know, where I'm supposed to give you a short answer. Shit. Yeah,
that's all right. That's okay.
It works.
My friends will ask me, where are your movie posters? You don't have up any movie posters? And I'm like, they're all in a drawer somewhere. I should have them up, but I don't. And instead, I've got like a shrine to my video game characters from all the stuff fans have sent me. Box full of the Final Fantasy sodas. That's all on shelves out there. But the coolest thing, somebody walked in one time. I was signing autographs at a GameSpot just because a friend asked me to do it. He ran the GameSpot, and I was like, sure, why not? Let's just show up at the mall because people will freak out.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It was really funny to see people's faces. But somebody walked in with a life-size stand-up of Lightning.
What?
And I was like, oh, my God. Like, she'd been in already, and I'd signed her stuff, and she walked back in with this thing, and I was like, that is amazing. Where do you want me to sign it? And she goes, it's for you.
Oh, wow.
Aww.
And I said, it's what? You just want – what? No, that's yours. No, no. And she goes – no, I was walking outside and there was this, I remembered after I met you that there was this shop down the way that's like a comic book shop and game shop. And they'd had this Lightning stand up outside for a really long time. And she said, I just remembered it. And I thought you'd really like to have it.
That's so cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah. She walked how many blocks, picked it up, walked it all the way through a double or triple decker mall.
Wow.
And brought it into the GameSpot. And I was like, no, please, no. And she's like, no, I want you to have it. So
that's so cool. So tell me it's in your man cave.
It's in my man cave.
Yes.
It's in my man cave. And we had a possible break-in one night. I wasn't here. It wasn't a break-in. I don't know what happened, but my alarm went off. And all the cops walked to the back of the house. my friend who was taking care of the house, the cop turns around and goes, dude, why does she have like this stuff in here? She does video game voices, and the guy was like, "Does she play Lightning? This is a cop with his gun drawn. Plays Lightning.
I love it."
He was like, "No way! That's awesome.
That is so cool.
Now my house is so protected, people."
That is
cool. Right? That's
that was not a short answer.
Like nerd cop comes to save your house.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Nerd cop came. I was so excited.
That's great.
Yeah, stand up of Lightning impressed them quite a bit. It was pretty funny.
Nice. Right,
so the last question, Lightning round is. If BioWare approached you to take part in Mass Effect 4, Liara's Revenge, what would you say?
Yes.
There we go. That's a great answer. It's a short one, too.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And, you know, and Liara is going to live for a really long time because her race lives for a very long time.
She's She's gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely. So this is the part where you plug stuff. Do you have any other stuff that you're actually allowed to talk about now coming up? Or is it all like super under wraps?
I don't think so. I think Judgment was the last one to come out that I could talk about.
And we know that, you know, you've been announced in Fuse, and Fuse comes out at the end of May.
Yeah, Fuse.
And Fuse
is going to be great. That's a fun.
It looks
awesome.
We've
had a lot of fun. Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with that one.
I can't wait.
So I know. It's so much fun.
It's going to be awesome.
I wish I had more things I could talk about.
Oh, it's okay. This has been so, we've learned a lot.
I did a little part on the regular show.
Oh, really?
Series. Yeah.
Cool.
They do a New Year's episode, and I play a little part in there, so see if you can find me. Cool. I'm not sure when it airs. But yeah, doing more stuff all over the place. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I just did a movie.
Oh, what'd you do?
Listen to me. I just did a movie. I have to remember. I did some people have seen the movie The Ultimate Gift. Mm-hmm. The Abigail Breslin and James Garner and Brian Dennehy. I did that a few years ago. They've been trying to make another movie kind of related to that story for a while, mm-hmm. like 5 years. And they finally got their budget and everything. It's not easy to make movies, people, not in this economy.
Wow.
But they got it all together, and I did a prequel, kind of a prequel to that movie. It's a totally different story, but it is relatable. It's the same character I played.
Oh, cool.
In that one. And it's family friendly, which is nice. I can tell everybody to go see it, which is cool.
Awesome.
You won't be chainsawing people in that one.
No, not so much. Not so much. But it's that should be in theaters. I've been really lucky. Most of the movies I've done have gone to theaters. I can't complain. So that one should be in theaters next year. I'll keep you updated.
Very cool.
Cool. Yeah. What about any conventions? Is there any way that people can see you anytime soon?
Yes. Actually, there's a convention in Orlando that I was invited to in August.
What?
Yes. I was going to tell you about it. It's not confirmed.
Okay.
And I don't even know which one it is. I don't know what it's called. It was offered to me through a manager. So if that comes to fruition, we will see each other, my friend Ash.
Definitely.
Whoa.
We'll all have to go get tacos and hang out. We'll take you to the good spots.
Yeah.
Far away from the convention center.
Yeah, far away from the convention center.
Whoa.
Far away. Give me some local grindage.
We can do that.
But yeah, I think I'm coming alone too. So I can't say anymore because I don't know for sure.
Yeah, okay.
There might be another very special guest there with me that all of you would be excited about.
Oh, awesome. Well, let's hope it works out. I'm trying to stressing my brain for conventions in Orlando in August, but I'll have to do some research because I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the other Florida one that I try to get to, ExpoCon, EXP.
Oh, ExpoCon. Yep. ExpCon.
Is that it?
Yeah.
ExpCon. Yeah. That one, Troy actually invited me to the first one that I went. I think to that one, or was it Liam O'Brien? I can't remember. That's terrible. Those boys are so good to me. The voice acting community is the best family of people you could ever know. They're so great. So it's between the fans and the voice actors and you guys. I couldn't ask for
awesome.
Couldn't ask for a better job.
Aww.
That's for sure.
Yeah, you're awesome. Well, that about wraps things up for you on our show, episode 101.
It's 101, people.
It's crazy. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We are like huge fans of you, and we think you're an awesome person. And we know this was like not great timing for you too, and for you to find the time. And you've been hanging out for like a couple hours now, so thank you.
Yeah, you know what? I guess I'm trying to make up for lost time.
Yeah.
Aww.
Aww.
All right, we are back with our chat from Allie Hillis. We really hope that you guys enjoyed that. And we think she is awesome, and we cannot wait to have her on again. And we will keep pestering her until she comes back on. And it might be another 2 years, but eventually she will.
I have to admit, I was a little like, I'm such a softie for all the animal stuff. And like, even having going back to listen to it to get it ready for this podcast, like I got all emotional and I started looking at like the animal shelters in town, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is, you know, like, but she brings up a lot of good points about how you can get involved in your community by, you know, helping the rescue effort, whether it's volunteering your time or volunteering your home to an animal. And I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a good direction that the conversation went in.
Yeah. Yeah. She, you know, it's funny, like the end, sometimes we'll ask our guests who, do VO work to do bumpers and stuff like that. And just listening to these voice actors bust into like Lightning and then, you know, Liara, it's just incredible to me. And I always,
oh, I love it.
I always have like a fanboy moment where she's like, hold on a second. And then like, you know, you're listening.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden like Liara is talking to you and just like, it's ridiculous to me. And I always love having folks like that on.
Yeah. And if you were one of the listeners that decided to listen to episode 100 anyway, you were hopefully pleasantly surprised with a couple of Easter eggs that we put in there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of really good ones.
I know I was.
I was too.
Yeah, those are great. Those
That's
are
because
really cool.
I didn't tell anybody that I did it.
I know. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Pretty cool. So Scott, tell us about some smack talking that's been going down.
Yeah,
what's this drama?
Before we conclude today's podcast, we have some important information to discuss.
Yeah.
So on a recent episode of Reset Transmission, they were talking about how they had a sort of a gaming competition night with Team Banana Punch where they played Team Fortress 2 for the first time. And the funny part is that none of them had ever played Team Fortress 2, so they were learning how to play and competing against each other at the same time. So, and I think they broadcast it on Twitch. But anyways, like the conversation evolved and changed a little bit. And then they brought up a point about like somehow Nerd Appropriate came up and somebody was like, oh, those guys, I don't think they play PC games and they're sissies. So
yeah,
I think it might be necessary to maybe represent in the PC gaming space, with a little Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
If you
and
will.
To clarify, yes, we are total sissies.
Hey now. Hey.
But no. I could probably take on all eight of them at the same fucking time. And I'm not even exaggerating because
well, first of all, I would think that our PC gaming history goes back to the early 90s, right?
Yeah.
Maybe before
we've got
that.
20 some years on this shit, all right? Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, why are they like capping on us for being more advanced gamers? If I'm given an option of sitting at a really uncomfortable desk with a computer or sitting on my leather couch with my 7.1 and my whole gaming experience in my woman cave.
Your legion of servants massaging your feet while they feed you caviar.
I'm going to pick the better gaming experience. Why should I feel bad about that?
Man, yeah. I mean, you know, I made boot discs for Wolfenstein 3D, so I can, you know, I know my way around a keyboard and mouse.
Seriously.
Yeah,
so I think...
And to be fair, I mean, we're probably on computers all day long for work. Mm-hmm. Why would you game on a computer when you have to do that all day long?
I used to mod the original Team Fortress.
There you go.
Boom.
So I think what we're trying to say is challenge accepted. You know where to find us.
I'm a fucking mayor of like five cities in SimCity right now, all right?
So, yeah. Wow, you're throwing down with the Sims.
Oh my gosh.
So
hey, I'd like to see them grow a metropolis from nothing.
What should the losers have to do for the winners of this challenge?
I think this is complicated because we sort of have like a Truxican standoff here because there's going to be three warring factions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's a lot of crossover there.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a little dirty crossover.
Well, we'll have to settle the terms.
Meaning Nate? I think.
Yeah, I'm like there's one person.
There's a lot though.
We'll have to lay out the terms, like, as the week progresses, but I'm just saying it did not go unnoticed.
Yeah.
We will answer in kind, is what you're saying.
Yes, I think we did. Yeah.
Bring it. It's already been brought it.
Brought.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in to episode 101 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Nerd Appropriate. You can email us individually, Ash, Matt, Hillary, 1L, or Scott at nerdappropriate.com. You can find us on Google Plus and Goodreads and the Spice Channel. We're everywhere. So
it's a new show I'm running, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. So please give us a follow, and we appreciate the hell out of you guys, and we will see you episode 102.
See you soon. Gooch.
The Gooch.
That's the Goocher.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
This is Allie Hillis. Congratulations, Nerd Appropriate. 100 episodes. I can't believe it all started with just 3 itty-bitty man brains.
So very true.
This is hilarious. I love it.
There we go.